Welcome to another edition of Collector's Corner. I'm Philip Martin. In today's programme, we'll meet someone who claims to have the world's largest collection of bicycles, someone with a wonderful collection of Arab coffee pots, and lastly, a chap who collects, wait for this, you're not going to believe it, the labels from tea bags. Yes, tea bag labels are now collectible. You heard it here first. But to start today's programme, we're going to talk to Richard Bolton about that traditional weapon of the Japanese warrior, the katana sword. Hello, Richard, and welcome to the programme. Now, you've been collecting Japanese swords for quite a number of years, I believe.
Yes, that's right. It all started when I went to Japan on a business trip about 15 years ago. I was lucky enough to be taken to see a Japanese swordsmith at work while I was there. I found it so fascinating that I became completely hooked and, well, I've just been collecting Japanese armour and weapons ever since.
How many swords have you got altogether?
Seven.
Is that all? Forgive me. It's just that it doesn't seem like very many.
I know, but you have to remember that it's quality, not quantity, that counts. These weapons are very, very expensive, and each one has been produced by a different master craftsman. And a couple of them are well over 100 years old. But each one is special and different in its own way.
Can you tell us a little about how they are made?
Well, in two words, really. Heating and beating.
Is that it? Surely not.
Well, I am making it a bit simple. But you see, the technique developed because originally the Japanese were only able to produce rather impure metal.
Why was that?
Because Japan had very little high-quality coal, so it was difficult to heat metal to very high temperatures in the furnaces.
Right. So the work that might have been done by the heat had to be done by the craftsmen.
Yes, that's it. Basically, the sword maker repeatedly heats, folds and hammers the metal. This repeated folding and beating eliminates any air bubbles or gaps in the metal and makes sure that the carbon content of the steel is uniform. It homogenized it, and the continual heating, cooling and reheating helped get rid of, to eliminate many of the impurities in the rather low quality steel.
And what is the end result of all this work? What kind of sword do you get at the end of it all?
Quite an unusual one, actually. For a start, it's rigid, not very flexible, designed to be used edge-on, like a guillotine. And there is only one sharp cutting edge, not two.
Ugh! Don't go on, it sounds nasty.
Yes, sure, but did you know that the techniques used in making swords were also used to make gardening and woodworking tools, planes, chisels, cutters, knives and so on? A lot of...
Really? How interesting. And presumably there was some special armour made to protect soldiers from these deadly blades.
Armour? Oh, yes. That's another subject in itself. You know, most people think of heavy metal when they hear the word armour. But in fact, the Japanese armour consisted mainly of bamboo wood, leather and quilted cotton, which was